my great Redeemer's grace.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of a prayer praise song and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you?
My gracious Master and my God.
Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Here's a prayer that needs to be sung around the world. Change my heart, O God. Sing along with us. Today's message is entitled, You Need a Center. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you very much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. Jesus said, Father, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them even as you have loved me. Amen. It seems like it was just yesterday, but it was in April of 1998. It was Easter Sunday morning. About 400 of us gathered at the West Wind Farms down at the dam, at the base of that dam. It's a beautiful place in North Fulton County here in Georgia. It was Easter Sunday morning, about 6:30, and it was still dark, and there was a long line of cars began to take their places in the roped-off parking area. Tiki torches and candles gave enough light for persons to find their way to the campfire and to the music. Praises and choruses and hymns and beautiful solos gave a really prayerful spirit to the gestures of that drama and there was an 18-foot-high cross at the top of the dam, and as the light came up, it helped you. You could just see the image of Christ up there. The drama helped us to imagine what the Gospel of John might have been like as the woman ran from the tomb to tell the other disciples. There were no words, but just as the sun began to emerge from behind the huge cross, all of us were compelled to look up. For some, it brought tears of joy. Some told me that they felt an overwhelming sense of God's presence. And I had to remind myself that this congregation was made up of persons from many faith backgrounds. Quite a few said they had actually had no church home at all, but had heard of the service and they came a long way to attend. One couple had driven 30 miles in the cold morning air on a motorcycle. After that service, persons lingered for nearly an hour. There was a sense in which persons seemed to know each other, even though most of them were strangers. Well, this lesson, John 17, verses 20 to 26, gave me an understanding of what was really going on. We must remember that this is a sacred prayer. It is the prayer that Jesus made almost at the end of his life. It is a prayer not just for those disciples. It is a prayer for you and for me. It was a prayer for those who gathered at that farm, at that dam that morning. Jesus prayed that the disciples would care and love each other. That is, that they would know each other in the same way that God and Jesus knew each other. And now think of this. Jesus desired that they know each other as he knew his Father, not just that it would be good for them. No, he wanted them to know each other so intimately and to know God so intimately that the world would notice. It would be an unmistakable way in which people would be drawn to them because of their relationship. Now, good friends, that means that the evidence of how the world, that is, those who are not yet people of faith, how the world would understand who God is, would be based on how well the disciples cared for each other. Jesus did not mean that the disciples had to do some superhuman thing. No, he prayed that they would be so close to him that in him they would be close to God, and in fact be as close to God as he was. I mean, it's so hard to realize how incredible this is. Jesus is not just suggesting. He is using his last few hours on earth praying for his disciples, for the new church. He's telling them that they could be as close to God as he was. Listen to verse 21, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. Now in verse 23, Jesus says, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and I love them even as you have loved me. I'm sure you've noticed, but I want you to think of it again. The unity for which Jesus was praying, that is, praying for the disciples and for the church and for you and me. This unity was based on not on the capacity of the disciples to love each other. Certainly they loved each other. They had been together for a long time. They knew each other. They had learned to count on each other, and some of them were already family brothers. But now Jesus was calling them to be in a relationship that had global consequences. This new relationship would be based on Jesus' relationship with God. That would be the model. And now here is the critical issue for you and me. This is the kind of relationship into which you and I are called. Think of it. Jesus means that you and I can count on the same kind of intimacy that Jesus had with his Heavenly Father, with God. I mean, I can hardly get a hold of that. Can you imagine what would happen to the church if we could live that kind of intimacy with God and with Jesus and with each other? I remember so clearly about 2 weeks after that sunrise service, there was another gathering. This time it was in our church sanctuary. There was the only building where people could gather in that neighborhood. And some of the same people who were at the sunrise service were there. Not everyone, of course. But the meeting was called by the county officials to discuss the location of some public facilities nearby. A park and a fire department and a police station were the main topics. Now, local landowners expressed the fear of increased taxes and traffic. They said the facilities, well, they might attract families from connecting counties, but would not have to share in the tax burden for the added amenities. Some persons were very loud. Some expressed distrust for the officials, and some were just quiet. A few walked out muttering their displeasure. There was a lot at stake. Land values could be affected. The quietness of this predominantly horse farm community would be disturbed. One thing for sure, the land values would go up. Now, you could feel the anxiety in that room. But these were good folks, but their possessions were potentially being threatened, possibly for good or worse. What struck me the most was not the harsh words or the legitimate concerns that many had, but it was the lack of any mention of the scores of older persons who live in that community who would benefit so much from these new facilities. They would feel safer and help would be closer. They could walk in protected areas and not on dangerous highways. There was little mention of the growing number of at-risk children who would live in that area, and there was no place for them already, no place for them to go. Now, please understand, this is a complex issue, and I'm not suggesting that these were unkind or uncaring persons at all. They're good people. And of course, I'm not even talking about what should or should not be done at that place. What I am talking about is that what took place had no center. It was based on individual needs and wants. It was about personal matters and personal preferences. It was not about what was good for all the persons together. You know, whenever you deal with each other like that, you need a center. You need something greater than yourself. Jesus prayed that the disciples would be so close to him and to God, in fact, as close as he was to God, that everything they did would be a witness to the love of God. When family relationships break down, there is hope when there is a center to which people can go for reconciliation. When friendships are fractured, if there is a center to which both can come, there's hope for healing. When heartache comes, the pain has a place to go if there's a center. Jesus did not say or even suggest, he didn't even consider that life would be painless or free of difficult decisions or failure or heartache or grief or anything else. But he did confirm that you and I could have an intense, intimate relationship with God and each other if we would open ourselves to it. And that sacred relationship would be the center for our lives. It would be the model for the rest of the world. I want you to invite you to read again, please. Read John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. And I pray that it will speak to your understanding. Please respond to it. Amen.
John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you so much. You know, the aroma of Easter is still in the air, and it's a reminder that we're called to live as a redeemed people. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that life is really a journey and not a destination. There are a lot of curves on the road, and sometimes adjusting to them, well, it's difficult and can be painful. Our emotions are often like riding a roller coaster. And on one hand, we're dealing with matters in our own lives, and then we hear of things like the bombing in Sri Lanka. It is so heartbreaking. The one thing about which we can be assured, though, is that Easter, God's presence and hope for our lives, has not changed in 2,000 years. Now, if you're anything like me, I find it hard, especially when times are tough, to really feel Christ's presence. Feelings of loneliness creep in. But those are the times when we need to be quiet and just sit in prayer and listen. Even though your mind wanders, just taking the time to be in God's presence has a lot of healing. For me, sometimes I don't notice any result until the next day, but it always comes. Now, I don't mean a check comes in the mail, but I mean my spirit feels strengthened and I feel like I can keep going and make good decisions or actions. Now, you know as well as I do that there are countless people who live without any knowledge of what Easter means, and many folks who've just lost their way. Would you help us keep telling the good news of Easter? It is your gifts and your prayers, prayers like yours, that literally make it possible for us to keep going. Now, I don't know any other way to tell you that, but our website is MethodistHourInternational.com, MethodistHourInternational.com. You can check us out on Facebook or call me or text me, 678-488-2162, 678-488-2162. You make the difference. Thank you. Amen.
Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. Get to know your nearby Christian clergyman. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.